So we're in this series now, a little short series. We're not going to cover all the questions Jesus asked, but we're going to cover a handful of them. I believe they're all in Luke. I think they are. And Jesus asked a lot of questions. He's really good at that, teaching people through questions. And I want to look at the questions that he asked that he did not answer. And yet, if we look in the context, maybe he did. So, here's the question. When you have a log in your own eye, why do you see the speck in someone else's eye? Now, he said it a little bit differently. But when you have a log in your own eye, this is like a big thing that's going to block your vision. And why are you looking around at somebody else and you want to get the little speck of dirt out of their eye? It's something like this. It's like, I've got a log in my eye, but I see a little tiny thing in your eye, and I'm going to fix it because I am the perfect person to set you straight. So this is the question. Why do I see the speck? Because I see it. Why do you see the speck in someone else's eye? Four answers. Number one, and you've got some notes there. If you're taking notes, you can look at those. And if you're at home and you send an email to us or something like that, we'll send the stuff to you by email also. You get the children's sheets and all those other good things. You know, taking outline, you've got four answers. And here's the first one. Why do you see the speck in someone else's eye? Because you're not being like Jesus. So if you got the note-taking thing, that last blank in there is Jesus. You're not being like Jesus. Now, last week we spent a good bit of time answering one of Jesus' questions. It's the one just before this. And he was explaining, I want you to love other people. I want you to do good to other people. I want you to lend to other people. I want you to be merciful to other people. And it continues today. This Sunday morning with the next verses, I want you not to judge other people. I want you to forgive other people. I want you to give to other people. The part of that that a lot of people think about first is the judgmental part. And I don't want to be, that's a big thing today. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. I'm not going to go there because I think they're going to judge me. A lot of people say, I don't want to go in church because they're all going to judge me. Well, goodness gracious, you silly little thing. You think the world revolves around you? We got nothing better to do than find when you come and see if we can figure out what's going on in your life and then act like we're better than you are? Maybe there's places you can find folks to do that. We just don't have the time to do that. You know, if you want somebody to judge you, try hard. Maybe there's somebody that'll do it. But you're really, really focused on yourself if you're concerned about going all over the world and people are going to judge you. But still, what does that mean? This thing, oh, nobody can judge today. Can't judge. Oh, certainly you can judge today. But you cannot be judgmental, Jesus says. So can you condemn other people as if you are better than them and you are the judge of the universe, the creator of the universe? Can you condemn them? Absolutely not. Can you discern right from wrong? Oh, absolutely yes. That's the problem. That's the problem where we try to change judgmentalism, where somebody's acting better, to say, you can't ever tell me anything whatsoever. So child asks a question, and the mom says no, and the child says, don't judge me. Is a mom or a dad, does God want them to identify right and wrong? Yes. That's not being judgmental. If the parent is saying, you're a moron, and you don't use your brain, and, you're worthless, and you might as well go to some place that's very hot for the rest of your life. That'd be judgmental. And Jesus got something bad to say about that. But no, I don't think this is a good activity for you. That's not being judgmental. No, I don't think those people are right people to hang around with. Oh, you're being so judgmental. Well, if you're condemning, yes. If you're just saying, I'm a parent and I got to protect you, you're not being judgmental. You're simply discerning right from wrong. So don't let people play that game with you. And what they say is, I can tell you when you're wrong, because I'm not being judgmental. But whenever you tell me right from wrong, you are being judgmental. Just don't be judgmental. And then you're not guilty of that judging thing that Jesus did not want people to do. So we want to be like Jesus. That's what we want to be. Why do we not see the speck? Because we're not like Jesus. And right here, I'm just reminding you of what we saw last week. Kind of last week's kind of pours into, doesn't it? It's not like Jesus didn't stop. And here's a whole new topic. It kind of flows one to the other. So I'm kind of repeating last week a little bit. If you weren't here last week, then you catch up a little bit. Because, you know, all of these things that Jesus says, why are you doing these things? Why is that any benefit? Because you're like God. You're created in the image of God. And verse 35, you could be sons of the Most High. I can identify you with God. So I was saying last week, if somebody tells my wife, Linda, oh, you're so much like Nan. We don't say, them's fighting words. We're like, oh, thank you so very much. Because what they're saying is Nan is very loving and caring and sweet. And my wife is very loving and caring and sweet. And they can see the family resemblance. Somebody tells you that they can see the resemblance between you and Jesus. You need to say, thank you, God. But I look more like him today than I do like the world. That's why we want to be like Jesus. We can be sons of the Most High. We can be identified with him. And we can be, verse 36, as your Father, as God is. We all want to be like God is with infinite power. That'd be cool. That's not God's plan. God's plan is be as God is in character. That's not so cool because we want to be like whatever we feel like. And God doesn't want us like we feel like. He wants us to be like he is like. So what family likeness are you modeling right now? And in your worst parts of the week, are you looking like Jesus or are you looking like the world? And so why do you see that speck in someone else's eye? Because you're not being like Jesus. Jesus didn't be saying, he wasn't saying like, let's jump on other people as fast as we can. I didn't stick this in the notes, but you can write it down. James 1, verse 19. Clear New Testament teaching, clear teaching, where it says to be quick and to be slow. It says be quick to hear. That's using this organ, not this organ. Okay, quick to hear. In fact, just in case you forget, twice as much of this, once as much of this. Okay, quick to hear, slow to speak. I really need that one myself. That's a biggie for me. I've worked on for a long time. Quick to hear, slow to speak, and also slow to anger. But of course, the person that sees the speck in somebody else's eye, but they haven't even adjusted the log in the room, they're being quick to speak. And they're being rather slow to listen, figure out what's going on around them. Why do you see that speck? Because you're not being like Jesus. I think that's sufficient answer to the question. We could stop right here. But the context has other answers in there. So I just want to share with you what else I see that's explicit or implicit in understanding why Jesus is asking this question. Why do you see that speck? Why do you see the speck? Secondly, because you do not realize the consequences. That's in verses 37 and 38. If you've got the notes there, underline is the consequences. That's why you're so quick to criticize somebody, because you don't realize the consequences of that. You think the consequences are that you single-handedly, or I single-handedly, am going to straighten the world out. That's probably not happening by you being the critiquer in general, the critiquer in chief, the insulter in charge. No. You don't realize the consequences. That's why you don't see the speck. So if you can see this thing right here, there's a guy that pushed a panel over. It's like dominoes. It's going to go all the way around. He doesn't realize when he goes all the way around and sooner than he expects, the last one's going to fall on top of him. Now, he thought it was a good idea, or she thought it was a good idea to knock that panel over, but would she still think it was a good idea? Would he think it was a good idea if he realized the consequences of that? You know, so if you're improving your spouse, spending a lot of time improving your spouse by correcting, and you realize the result of it was they're going to leave you. They just got fed up. Would you keep doing it? As a parent, if you were correcting your children to make them perfect, that's what I wanted to make them perfect, and you realize they're going to rebel against you and everything that you're trying to teach, they're ultimately going to live out the exact opposite. Because just the volume of it, nothing I got through, just a waterfall of criticism washing over them continually. Or, secondly, Another possibility is you just ruin them for life, that they're so discouraged and depressed that they don't have initiative to do anything. If you knew that was the consequence of your continual harping and criticism, would you still do it? But you do it because you don't realize the consequences. And many of us right now could point to somebody else in their life that does that. And the point of this is not to be able to point to the other people. It's to find how much does this apply in my life. Because if I'm going to be appointed to tell all the others why you're doing it all wrong, what am I doing? I'm doing the very same thing that we're talking about we shouldn't be doing. I don't want you appointed to tell me everything that's wrong about me. And now I'm going to be appointed to tell you everything that's wrong about you because you're telling me everything is wrong about me. I find this so often in marriage. I think of something I'm going to tell my wife. I don't like the way you're doing this. And I realize the very thing that I want to change, the spirit of that, I do the same. I find it very hard to find something in her life that I like to tell her is not right. That she couldn't turn around and say, but you do the same thing. You know, close, kind of in the same way. I mean, maybe a little bit different, maybe a little bit different time, but, you know, you're. And so one person's like, you're criticizing me too much. Well, I'd like to tell you, you're criticizing me too much. Oh, that's right. Let's find another complaint. You know, well, you know, you're not really communicating. You're just really yelling all the time. Well, you're not really communicating either. You never talk at all. Well, neither is communicating, but they're doing it in different ways. You see how that is? If you're married, just try that out in your mind. Think of the things that really bother you about the other person and be really introspective and see if it isn't true. I mean, unless you just got married yesterday, maybe you haven't developed these things, but we're kind of matched sets. And we do those things. We really do. We really do. You don't realize the consequences. Jesus says, judge not. Because see, if you judge, what's the consequence of being judgmental? You can be judged. Hey, teachers, I'm a teacher. I get to teach all this stuff. What does God say? Teachers are going to be held accountable to higher standard. Oh, my lands. I never wanted this job at all. God gave it to me, and then afterwards I read the fine print, I'm going to be judged for that? Yep, held to a higher standard? Well, yes, yeah, certainly. How can I stand up here and talk to you? I'm talking to me at the same time without realizing. If I'm spending all my time talking about God, what God wants us to do, God's going to expect me to do something about that. Judge not. You're just going to be judged. Now, that's not ignore. Ignore all of God's moral standards because then you don't have to have any moral standards. That's not what God's saying here. Follow God's moral standards. Just don't judge other people. You ever thought how that fits evangelism? This is not how we approach an African village. Walk into the village and say, everybody listen, I want to tell you everything you believe is wrong. It's all sinful, you're all going to go to hell. Who wants to come so I can tell you the right way? That is not a winning formula of anything other than getting kicked out or worse. It's not going to work in fellowship. We had a wonderful time at that cornhole tournament. We didn't find people clustering around telling each other, you're wrong at this and you're wrong at that and you're wrong at the other. Well, maybe somebody might have corrected the person's swing, but I don't even think we even did any of that. Because you can't go and share the spiritual stuff you have in common if you're throwing in all kinds of criticism about the other person. If you've got the log in your own eye, you don't go around trying to find all the other eyes to get the specks out. Marriage, parenting, fellowship, witnessing. Yeah, that was the four I wanted to hit. Judge not, because you're going to be judged. Condemn not. When you're condemning other people, you condemn yourself. Look at Romans chapter 2. On the other hand, forgive. Forgive other people, and you're going to be a person that's forgiven, and give. In the next verse, I don't throw all the verses in here. Give, and it's going to be given back generously. That doesn't mean give away $100, and tomorrow you're going to get $150. Maybe you'll never get any back. But living a generous life, it's going to come back in other ways. You know, it will. You, if you're generous, God's going to be generous with you in his blessings. And maybe in kind, probably not, but you're not doing it. You're not being generous if you're trading something to get more back. That's not generous. That's let's make a deal. Generous is I'm just going to give it away because I love you. And you grow in love. And maybe somebody else might love you. I don't know. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. So in other words, being like Jesus, that point number one, has consequences. And they're good consequences. Hey, think of the person that's just judgmental all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. How many friends line up to greet them and meet them and help them? Not many. Because they've turned everybody off. There's consequences for correcting people left and right, left and right. People, you know, if you ever notice people like ducking in the room or something when you're walking by, maybe you've been trying to take too many specks out. They're hiding from you. That does not draw people to you. It doesn't draw people to Jesus. It doesn't draw people to your family. It certainly does not spread what you're doing. So say you're a Marxist. You go out and you love people and tell everything's going to be better. Boy, if you let me be in charge, I'm going to make everything better for you. You keep it a secret, I'm actually going to take charge and tell you what to do. But you never attract, socialism has not attracted people because we're telling folks, I'm going to limit your liberty, I'm going to tell you what to do. It's attractive because they play a different game, kind of the dating game. Then when they get you, then you find the other side of the whole thing. Grabbing specks out of other people's eyes is not going to move your, and of course, we're not trying to promote socialism or Marxism, although that's your thing, go ahead and do that. We're trying to lead people to know Jesus. Trying to bring people in contact with the God of the universe. And so judge not, condemn not, forgive, give generously. Is that how God forgives you? I have to enter that in here. Because whenever we're talking about the gospel, if Jesus Christ is in your life, you need to live differently. We've got to make sure we clarify this. You know, so we want you to love and do good and lend and be merciful, and God doesn't want you to condemn, and he doesn't want you to judge, and he wants you to forgive. And if you do all of those things, then you get to go to heaven, right? No, that's works. When Jesus is in your life, we're trying to show you this is the life that Jesus wants you to live. But if you don't have Jesus in your life, we're not spending a whole lot of time like that. So you don't wade into an LGBTQ, you know, convention and saying, look, I'm going to straighten all of your anxieties and difficulties out. But you want to just love people and introduce them to Jesus. There's plenty of time when somebody trusts in Jesus, you can tell them, you know, you picked a direction that God doesn't say is going to be blessed. Can we look at this a little bit together? You might even have some traction with that kind of a conversation. But you're not going to jump in and condemn them right away. I used to do this. Remember, we would have the Muslims come here. People in the church, you, some of you that are right here, probably, I don't know, would come and say, what are you doing bringing Muslims in the church? They're going to hear the gospel. But you're telling the music people don't have this song and don't have that song. No, that's exactly right. And maybe I was wrong, I don't know, but I would say the very first song, let's not hit them with the thing that they least believe. Because I know the message that's coming, and it's going to be the one you want. We're not hiding the gospel. We're just going to make sure we don't chase them out when we start singing. Because when the gospel comes around and the message, I'm going to deliver it. And by God's grace, I'm going to deliver it in such a way that they understand what the gospel is, but they don't feel slapped. And those of you that have been here, you've seen how that happens. It just takes a little bit of care, a little bit of timing, a little bit of prayerful help so that you're showing I love you and I appreciate you care enough to know how I differ. And here's how I differ from you. But I appreciate you because you actually want to know that. That's a lot different than I think you're going to hell. Turn or burn. Well, you know, I don't know how many I've caught with the second message, but I'm going to catch none with the first message. Because that looks like somebody with a log in their eye going around to find people with specks in their eyes. The gospel is not trying to work your way into looking like Jesus. It's not that at all. It's not that at all. You have to actually acknowledge that you're not like Jesus. So I just want to introduce this here because some people get caught up when you're saying, be like Jesus, be like Jesus. If I'm like Jesus, I'm going to get into heaven. Not so. I asked a woman in the community, I said, this is going to be interesting. But I was doing one of those discipleship classes, and in the discipleship class, we're supposed to go and ask somebody, some different people that aren't church people how to get into heaven. So I said, oh, I think I'll ask somebody interesting. I found an LGBTQ. They didn't even have that then, but this lady would be part of it if they had it then. And I asked her, how? I just have a question for you. How does a person get to heaven? And she had no idea. She'd never been asked that question. And she said, my answer might differ from what yours is. I said, cool, that's fine. I'm just asking you the question. You're the expert. I'm not evaluating your answer. I'm just asking you, how do you feel about it? And she had no idea. So she talked and she talked and she talked, because this was a gal that was guilty of moral sin, that was guilty of criminal sin. She's an ex-con and she had been involved in drugs. And I'm asking her, how are you going to get to heaven? She's talking to a pastor about how to get to heaven. And I say, yeah, hey, go for it. Whatever you got. And she talked and she talked and she talked and she said, that's it. She figured out her life credo. If in your heart you're doing the best to have a good heart, then you get to go to heaven. Well, I just thought that was tremendous that we had that conversation, because she felt like, you don't really want to hear this. I want to hear it. And I was just so helpful. We're going to have an ongoing relationship. It didn't work that way. But still, we had the conversation, and I got to know where she was on this issue. You do work your way into heaven. I don't really have any standards I've ever followed with anybody. But I can follow my own standard as long as I think I try to be true to my own heart. And, that woman actually articulated what most people believe anyway. You figure out your own system, and then you can talk your way into heaven. That's what she came up with. But we know that's not it. Even if we get some good biblical ones, love and don't be judgmental, that's not the... If I duplicate them, then I get into heaven. No, no, no. You get into heaven when you realize, when you acknowledge, I could never do that. Even though I understand the thing, I don't love as well as... I don't give as well. I don't lend as well. I don't avoid judging as well. I don't avoid condemning people as well. I try not to do those things, but I'm never going to do that the way I need to get into heaven, because Romans 3:23 says all of us fall short of the glory of God. I fall short of the glory of God. So I need to acknowledge that I fall short, acknowledge that I can't work my way in, and realize the consequences. That's what this point is we're talking about. The consequences, I do not get to enjoy God now, and I never get to enjoy God. And then I ask God to forgive me anyway, based on what Jesus did on the cross. And then I'm thankful for the new heart God puts in my life. And I mention that sometimes because people are like, well, I'm a Christian, but I never had a new heart. I was never born again. Well, maybe you're a churchgoer, not a Christian. Think about that just a little bit. Think about that just a little bit. So, why do you see the speck? Because you're not being like Jesus, because you don't realize the consequences. And even if you try to be like Jesus, you can't be enough like Jesus to have your sins forgiven. I just wanted to make sure we were clear on that. So why do you see the speck? Here's a third reason why. Because you criticize others before you practice it yourself. The blank there in your notes is yourself. You criticize others before you practice it yourself. Many of us are blind to this, that the very thing we're critical of others, we do something very, very similar ourselves. We just do a godly version of it, we think. We do a religious version of it, we think. Because you criticize others before you practice it yourself. And so Luke 6:39, Jesus told him a parable. This is a very short parable. He made up this story. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? And don't we have experts around today? They're totally blind. But they will tell you exactly the way it is. You want to know what God's like? No, no, no. I'll tell you what my God's like. They know what God... How can you know what a God is like by making it up yourself? That would make you the God. You're the originator of the God. Totally inconsistent, but they're an expert. They know exactly what God is like. Couldn't be our God, because it doesn't feel right to them. And then they'll tell you, this is what happens when you die. You disappear, or you turn into another person. You come back again. And expert, how do you happen to know these things? Have you done it a couple times? They're totally blind, and they're going to lead anybody that listens to them must be blind themselves. And then there's the materialists. Only what I see exists. Can you see the wind? Maybe that exists. Okay. All right. Not just what I can see, but only what I can see in science can prove. So that covers gravity also. Because I can't see gravity, but science can prove there's gravity. So a materialist says only the things that I can see or science can prove. Now, how do you know that's true? You're an expert. If you can only see things physical, how can you tell me there is no spiritual world? Because what? This is the no answer. But they're an expert on that. And by the way, how can we tell anybody? Can we see the spiritual? Actually, we can sense some spiritual. Yes, we can. But we're not better than anybody. We just got the Bible to look at. And that's the only way that we can actually have a chance to do that, to tell somebody else something about the spiritual, about God, or moral standards. What are God's standards? And this gal who had messed up in life, and there's nothing. Hey, lots of us mess up in life. I just wanted to tell you, the lady that came up with this thing, you know, she was interesting because she had some life experiences that were different than some of yours. But ultimately, what she comes up with and I come up with, what difference does it make if you came up with it? But if God tells us in his word, now we've got a different understanding of what's going on. That is, if we can find that a reason to believe that the Bible is true. And I have you? Now I've got something worth going on. So why are you so busy, even if you got a log in your own eye, looking for specks in other people's eyes? Because you criticize other people before you actually have it figured out yourself. You're a blind person leading the blind. And that is a recipe for tragedy and disaster and souls being lost, children growing up wrong, marriages crumbling, churches falling apart, communities and countries falling into moral decay. One last answer to the question. I had some other answers I want to give, but these are the ones that are in text. There's other answers. You know, this is your sinful proclivity, but that's not from this text. At least I didn't see it surface very clearly. So I'll just give you the last one that I see here a little bit more clearly. Why do you see the speck in someone else's eye, even though you have a log in your own eye? Because hypocrites see the faults of others, but not their own. Because hypocrites, I don't like that word. Do you like that word? You see the faults of others before you see your own. You know what you are? Hypocrite. I don't like that word. Hypocrite. Here it is in the text. How can you, verse 42, how can you say to your brother, this is a close friend you're saying this to. Brother, let me take the speck out that's in your eye. Yeah, whatever that says. Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye. Jesus, he's got a sense of humor, doesn't he? You got a log in your eye, sister. You got a log in your eye, brother. I don't have a log in my eye. Yeah, but you're so blind to what's in your own life. Why are you so busy with others? And this is what Jesus says, you hypocrite. And Jesus really hammered on the hypocrites an awful, awful lot. He didn't say you got to be perfectionist. He said you got to stop claiming that you're a perfectionist. You got to stop claiming you've got moral superiority. You got to stop claiming that you're God's gift to the world to straighten everything out. Now, there's a way to help people that comes out of love and relationship and concern that's very useful. But not as the moral expert reigning on the throne that you've built yourself. Because Jesus says you're a hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. What is a hypocrite? You know, a hypocrite, the dictionary says, is somebody that believes in hypocrisy. I said, well, that's helpful. What's hypocrisy? Well, that's where you're pretending to be something that you're not. And in fact, this is a Greek word here that we're writing in English. Hypocrite comes from a Greek word. And originally, like when Aristotle was reading Greek, this word meant an actor. And so today, how many actors and actresses were in the famous movie that had its preview this week at the high school? How many? Raise your hand up. How many actresses? We had some munchkins, so the munchkins got out of the room. All right, I see a wizard. I see a scary person, you know. And, okay, we got a handful of them. I think we had like 30% of the cast came out of our church. Kind of cool. And listen, I'm going to tell all of you, especially any wizards and witches that are here, I'd be glad to be your agent, and I'll even look for less than 10%. Okay, we can work on that together. We just got to get some glossy photos with your handwriting on it, and we can do this thing. But that's what a hypocrite was. A hypocrite was somebody that would go on stage, and so I want to let you into something. Caleb is actually not green, and he's not a wizard, and you're not all that wicked, Grace. I've always kind of thought you were a nice person, and we had some munchkins in here, and they're actually not munchkins. They're like little people that are going to be big people someday, and so they're playing a part in a play, which is okay. But when we're playing a part in life, that is hypocrisy. A hypocrite. You're wearing the mask that you're different than you really are. We've got to be in this together. If I can convey to you that I have weaknesses and problems and share with you what God's doing in my life and maybe he might do in yours, you might listen. If I tell you, I got it all together, I've got it figured out perfectly, and would you sit and listen, because I'm going to tell you wait a while, I got 3 pages, it's going to take me a while to tell you all your shortcomings, you're not going to stay for that too often, are you? You're not interested in that whatsoever. You're not going to do that. In fact, if somebody was up here week after week, just wailing away, you're all bad, and I'm going to fix you, I don't know that we'd keep attendance strong. You know, on the other hand, if I'm like, hey, you got a big problem with sin, but I do too. What's the Bible say about it? You might listen and see if there's something there. That's what we've got to do. Because as you and I are working, getting the logs out of our own eye, we've actually are learning something that would be very useful to somebody that gets a similar, like a splinter from that log. Now we've got some life experience behind that whole thing. So hypocrisy is where I'm wearing an actress or an actress's mask. And this in the ancient Greek world, when you went on stage, so in case people couldn't see you because they're not blown up on a screen, it was just the person, you would have a mask. And they were very exaggerated so somebody could tell, are you the heroic character or are you the sad character? They could tell you which one you were because of the mask. They would know the part you're playing, and that's okay to do that. But in life, it is not okay to pretend. What God wants us to do is to be open and communicate and assist and love and care and have compassion and do good and lend and be merciful and not be judgmental and not condemn. It's all right here. He asked the question and the answer is kind of there. So we don't want to be hypocrites. Pretending, playing a part, that others have faults, but you do not. Now, hear this little example. I hope there's nobody here that would be like this. I hope not. I taught a series. I thought it was 12 weeks. Maybe it was 8. Could have been 6. No less than 6 weeks. Maybe it was 8 weeks. I taught a series one time. Some of you are in that series. On how to handle problems in life biblically. And there was a gentleman who's not here right now, so I'm not insulting him to his face. There's a gentleman that was here at that time who afterwards thanked me. That is so good for people to hear. I wish the people in my life heard your message so they would know how to live. Then he proceeded to tell me a problem that he was facing and the non-Christian worldly way he was going to solve it that was completely against everything I've been preaching for 6 or 8 weeks. And I was stunned that somebody can sit and listen all this time in the scripture. Yes, 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 I'm shaking my head. Yes, because the rest of them need to hear this. But it's not for me in particular because I go by different rules. This is for you and this is for me. Please, please, please do not break my heart by within the next week telling me how you love the message and you don't intend to follow it in your life whatsoever. That would be hypocritical. And so, as I close right here, thinking about the speck in your eye, the other person's eye, you need to work on your own eye first. I want to ask this question. Do you claim to be a Christian, but you've never been born again, no new heart, no ongoing relationship with Jesus? That's a mask you're wearing. You're putting on your I am the Christian mask right now. Take the thing off and admit who you are, and let's talk about this so you can really find Jesus and get to know him. There's no power in having a mask. I was thinking, what should I take away other than in parenting and marriage and evangelism, fellowship? I need to have humility. I'm only here by the grace of God. I got to try not to do too much criticism of the people. I need to listen, not talk. I definitely need to make sure I'm not acting as if I'm better than others. I know I'm not better than others, but I have to be careful because sometimes I'm sending a message maybe I don't even mean to send. I got to realize that Jesus is more important than I am, that other people are more important than I am. I am not the valuable, you know, that's hypocritical. Yes, discern right and wrong by God's standards. But while you're not judgmentally rejecting other dear people that we need to introduce to God and help them down the road, because you're not better, I'm not better than they are. Why do you see the speck? Those are the reasons why, because we need more God in our life. Let's pray. Gracious Father, it is so humbling to think about these things. I recognize right away the people I wish would hear the message and follow it. And then I'm reminded the person that you want me, that you want most to hear the message and follow it is me. Lord, help me to live out what I've learned. Help my brothers and sisters to live out what they've learned. Help the dear ones that have a good thought in their mind, they'd like to be a follower of Jesus, but they're not really, to take off the mask and get to know you. I pray in the name of Jesus.